Jesus sends out the 72. This is from Luke chapter 10, 1 to 12. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them in two by two ahead of him in every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to welcomed. Eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and you are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near you. It will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town."
Thank you. So we're looking at a series at the moment. Just before I start, the people who have used the thing this morning, has anyone nicked my sermon? Who used the pulpit? Did anyone pick it up with their stuff? Barbara, did you pick up a sermon with you? I won't. Maybe at the back. That would be great. Right, it's all right. Won't take it personally, and I'll take it wasn't a hint. Marvellous. Well, I found it now. Good. So we're on this series at the moment called "What on Earth Are We Here For?" which I hope will be helpful to us as a church. The first one we did was Genesis, and I hope that that kind of set us a stage of who we are, what God is like, the basics of what is the kind of God we interact with. But it does beg the question, doesn't it? If God's like this and we're like this, well, what on earth are we here for? What's the point in us continuing to be on the earth? Why, as I said 2 weeks ago, why don't we just get raptured up into heaven immediately? Why do we continue to exist in this mortal realm? What on earth are we here for? And I think it's a good question. It's a big question. It's one that I think every culture wrestles with. You go to anywhere in the world, there are people who ask this question. What's the point? Why are we here? We get this sense that there is a purpose to our life, but what is it? And we were looking at this diagram. Beth, can we have the next little slide up? Which looked like this, and this was kind of something I was thinking about, that there's kind of three things. What on earth are we here for? Rick Warren did a book with a similar tagline, and these are some of the things that we're here on earth to do. Worship, which is out, and discipleship, which is in. And there we are, that's it. What's the point in life? Well, there we are, there's three starting points anyway. I'm sure there's lots more that you can think of. And we're going to be thinking this morning about the one bottom left, mission. Introducing people to Jesus. I love the film Blues Brothers. Anyone seen Blues Brothers? It's just brilliant, isn't it? And I love, we're on a mission from God. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. Are we on a mission from God? Is it to get the band back together? Or is it something else? So we're going to be looking at that a little bit this morning. It's mission, I think, is often misunderstood. And the phrase that I've settled on this week as I've been thinking about it is simply that. We're introducing people to Jesus. We're introducing people to Jesus. You meet people, and regardless of where they are at in life, I can guarantee that Jesus will take them to a better place. That's what Jesus does, isn't it? It's why we love Jesus, because Jesus transforms our lives and takes us from where we are at, wherever that is, takes us from where we are at to something better. And so our job as Christians, when we talk about mission, is simply that. We introduce people to Jesus, which I think is great. Because, in a sense, the pressure's off. Your job as a Christian is not to improve people's lives necessarily. It's to introduce them to a God who improves people's lives. Does that make sense? Our job isn't to drag people kicking and screaming to live in a certain way. No. We just introduce them to Jesus and God transforms their lives. We're not the moral police. We just introduce people to Jesus and then he convicts them of stuff. It's not our job. We just introduce them to Jesus and essentially God does the rest. Because it's good news. It's good news, isn't it? I think the next one, Beth, sorry, I haven't got the clicker, but the next one's good news. Oh, no, we'll come to that in a second. It's all good news. And I would say this to you, as we're thinking this morning about how can we bring the kingdom of God to people's lives, how can we introduce people to Jesus, let me just remind you that it's good news. And if it isn't good news, it's not the gospel. Because the gospel means good news. So if what we are bringing as a church isn't good news to people, it's not the gospel. Because the gospel means good news. So that's the filter that we're thinking through. We're like, are we bringing people good news? Are we bringing stuff that brings life? Are we bringing stuff that brings hope? Are we bringing stuff that brings peace? Because if we're doing that, then I think we are fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave us. Now, I like this passage when Jesus sends out the 72. In the chapter before, Jesus sends out the 12. Now that, for me, is quite easy to read. Because when Jesus sends out the 12, I read that and I think, yeah, that's all right, because they're the super Christians. So Jesus sends out the professionals. And in our minds, we've all got our image of what the super Christian looks like. In my mind, it's basically Faye. It's like, Jesus sends out the ones who are really good at this stuff. Like, Faye gets sent out by Jesus. And I get to sit with the 72 being like, off you go. I'll pray for you back in my comfortable life. And whatever your view of a super Christian is, it might be any number of people, but it's like the Billy Grahams. And you can sit at home and watch Billy Graham on TV and think, yep, good on him. He's the evangelist. Off you go, Billy. I'll pray for you from my sofa. Jesus sends out the 12. And then the next chapter, things get a little bit more difficult for us to read. Because it's like Jesus then turns to me. Having sent out the super Christians, the Billy Grahams and the Wickfields and the Westcliffs and all the other people who we think are super, he sends them out and then he kind of turns to us. And you know what he's going to say? You're next. Because I love this passage because it shows us that mission isn't just for the super Christians. Introducing people to Jesus isn't just for the super evangelists that we see on TV. Because Jesus sends out the 72. He sends out you. He sends out me. At the end of Matthew, we get the Great Commission where Jesus says, as you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Guys, we're all in this. This is all of our jobs. That first diagram to worship, mission to introduce people to Jesus, and discipleship to become more like Jesus, that's for all of us. It's not just for Faye. It's not just for Billy Graham. It's not just for Wesley. This is our calling on what on earth are we here for. And the question then comes, well, how on earth do we do it? Well, that's my question anyway, because I like a plan. So how on earth do we do it? And the nice thing about this passage is that Jesus gives us four steps to introducing people to Jesus. Four steps. Fairly straightforward. I feel we can all do four things. So this morning, I'd just like you to talk through these four things that Jesus says, these are the ways you bring the kingdom. And the first one, I think, is great. Because it just says, when you go into a house, bless the house. Say peace to this house. The first thing we're called to do as Christians is simply to bless people. That's it. That's stage number one. Introducing people to Jesus, all right, let's start just by blessing people. That'll be the first thing that we do. We're going to bless people first. And I think that our engagement with this world, it's got to start from a desire simply to bless people. So us as a church, we're thinking, first and foremost, how do we bless Earl's Combe? We don't start from how do we get people to come to church on a Sunday. We start from how do we bless Earl's Combe? That's what Jesus begins with. When you first do it, pray peace on the house. There are other stages later that we'll come to, but let's just begin by starting with how can we bless people. And let me tell you that you can all do this this week. Think of someone that you can bake a cake for this week and go and give it to them. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Pray peace on the house. Act as a blessing. Who can you make a cup of tea for this week? Who can you make that phone call to and ask how they're doing? What act of blessing can we do in order to show Earl's Combe that we're here to bless the village? That our first job here is to pray peace on this village. And to be honest, I think we as a church are pretty good at it. I mean, you only need to look at our stage this morning to see that we're pretty good at blessing people. The fact that we run Chatterbox just so that mums have got a safe place to bring their toddlers to play. And Cynthia does an amazing job at that. The fact that we run zone groups in order for teenagers to not have to hang around on the street, but they can come in here and have a safe place to meet other teenagers and have a chat about stuff that matters, like Alan Avril does. And all of us are doing this stuff, and I just think it's great. I want to say, well done, you're doing mission. You're doing the first stage in which Jesus calls us to do. We're blessing people. We're making this place a better place to live simply by us being here. You want to introduce people to Jesus? Start acting like Jesus. And you'll find that they get introduced to him through that. The next one's probably my favourite. So we start by blessing people. We start by looking for acts of kindness. And then Jesus says, eat with them. And then Jesus says, eat with them. Have some dinner. And me, I'm very pro this idea. I'm fully on board with Jesus at this point. I am shouting amen so loudly while Jesus is preaching this. Jesus says, bless people. I'm like, yeah, we can get on board with that. Eat with people. Yes, come on. This is what I'm talking about. This is who I signed up to follow. Thanks, Jesus, very much. I can get fully on board with this Christianity lark because we're eating with people. And I've been thinking about this week, and actually, it's a good thing to do. We're good at eating with people as Christians. Michael McIntyre did a good sketch about this. All of our festivals seem to revolve around food, don't they? We're coming up to Advent, the time when we identify with Mary, when we look forward to our Saviour being born. How shall we mark it? Let's have little bits of chocolate every day for 30 days. And we come to Christmas, and what we're going to do, we're going to remember the fact that God was born in a manger surrounded by animals. How shall we mark it? Let's eat some of those animals. We'll get the family round and we'll have and then Easter comes, and we remember the truth of what was a horrific execution of God on a cross. And what do we do as Christians? We say, that cross shape, we could put that on a bun. And we could eat it. We're good at food as Christians. That's what I'm saying. We're good at food. And actually, I think it's something to be proud of, that we as Christians are good at eating together. Can I just show you this, and I think this shows us why it's good that we eat together. These are the Hebrew words for a couple of the words up on the screen. And I don't pronounce Hebrew, I haven't got a clue, but shul, let's call it that, means meal. Shulchan means table. Shulchan also means reconciliation, and it means lambskin, and a similar derivative means forgiveness. There's a reason Jesus calls us to eat with people. Because when you eat with people, there's something spiritual that happens. You know what it's like. You can have people that you don't get on well with. You have dinner with them and the atmosphere changes. The relationship changes. There's a reason that when we gather families together, we try and do it around a meal. Why? Because there's something that happens when we eat with people that changes the dynamic. For the Jews, it was a big deal to eat with Gentiles, and I'm so glad that they reassessed that viewpoint about 2,000 years ago in the church. Because whereas previously there's been division, how do we get over it? We have communion. We eat together. We have a meal together. There's something spiritual about eating together. When we eat with people, we are spiritually fed, not just physically fed. That's why I get excited about this. Because we can all do that, can't we? You're probably going to eat this week, unless you're fasting, or not. You are going to eat this week. So my question to you is simply this: who are you going to invite round? You're going to cook a meal. Who are you going to invite round for dinner? You're going to make some extra food. Who are you going to take it round to the next day and say, do you want some food? Who are you going to say, I'll put the kettle on, come round for a cup of tea? Why? Because Jesus calls us to bless people, and then he calls us to eat with people. You can bless people at a distance. We can go out and we can do things that are nice to people, and we leave it outside. But when we invite people into our homes to eat, there's another level of relationship that happens. So I'd encourage you this week, bless people, and then eat with people. And what Jesus says is, they tend to invite you back. And when they invite you out for dinner, say yes. You might disagree with the way they live their lives, it doesn't matter, say yes, go and eat with them. You might think that their home isn't particularly tidy, it doesn't matter, go and eat with them. Go and eat with people. Why? Because there's something spiritual that happens when we eat with people. That's why there's Passover, that's why we do communion as Christians. Why? Because there's something spiritual about eating together. That's why my favourite view of heaven. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to eat, because there's going to be a feast, and it's going to be fantastic. There's something spiritual about food, and Jesus calls us to do that with people. And then the next one is the real challenge for me. Bless people. I reckon I can do that. We as a church definitely do that. Eat with people. We can do that. You can invite someone around for dinner. You can bake someone a cake. You can have someone around for tea. It's an act of mission. It's why we have food when we have messy church. It's important. And then the third one is the one I kind of want to skip past. You read the passage, don't you? And you're like, so pray peace on the house, yep. Eat with people when they offer it, yep. Heal their sick. And then say the kingdom of God's come. And we'll just skip over that bit. But guys, this morning I can't skip over the bit that says heal their sick, because Jesus didn't. I've been thinking about this week, and it really does challenge me. As a church, we're great at blessing people. As a church, as individuals, I think we're good at eating with people. My question is, are we offering people an encounter with God? Are we offering people a chance for the supernatural to change their lives? Because if we're not, if we stop at eating, we just become a social club, which has its pros and cons. We can bless people, we can eat with people, but if we stop there in Jesus' four things, then we just become a social club. I want to commit to inviting the supernatural into my encounters. I want to commit to actually allowing people to meet God. Because it's one thing to have them round for dinner. Let me tell you, it is another thing to say, so what can I pray for you for? And that's my challenge to us this morning. In our lives, where are we giving people an opportunity to encounter the living God? When are we saying to people, let me pray for you for that? When are we saying, actually, Jesus said something about that? When are we giving God an opportunity to move in their lives? And it's got to be whenever we get the chance. I heard this story my last church. There was a woman, bless her, and she used to go every Sunday, and she would pray, God, move in the church. God, move in the church, every Sunday. Then she would go to a once-a-month revival meeting on a Friday. So on Sunday, she'd pray, God, move in the church, every Sunday. Once a month on Friday, God, won't you move in the church? She did it for 20 years. Then God moved in the church, and she left. The music was too loud. She didn't like the songs. She didn't like the fact that there were too many kids. She thought it was too noisy. It was too chaotic. She left the church. Guys, when God moves, it's sometimes a bit messy. When God moves, sometimes it can be a little bit difficult. But unless we're willing to go from stage two of eating with people to stage three of inviting God to move, we don't change people's lives. We become a social club. What we're not is a church. We're not allowing people to encounter the living God. So here's my challenge for you this week. Ask to pray for someone. You can do it. You don't need to get me to pray for them. You don't need to get your small group leader to pray for them. You can do it. You can pray for someone. Put your hand on their shoulder and say, God, I just pray that right now you'd move in so-and-so's life. Don't say so-and-so, say their name. because else that's rude. But there you are. And you can do that. Just remember you're blessing them. Don't try and pray for hours. Just try and bless them. But allow God to move in their lives. I was once in Sainsbury's car park. And I went up to a woman, and I get a bit emotional because I feel that I don't do this enough, but I went up to a woman and I said, what's your view on God? What are your views on church? And I had a 5-minute conversation with her, and then I said, can I pray for you? And she said yes. And let me tell you, if you ask people to pray for them, they normally say yes. And if they don't, that's not your fault. At least you gave them a chance. They might say no. But I reckon 70% of the time they'll say yes. So pray for them. And that blew me away. Because there was a woman who was in Sainsbury's, and I had a chat with her, but the thing that might have changed her life is when I invited God into that conversation. I invited God to move. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't force himself on our friends. But we have an opportunity to allow God to move just by saying, can I pray for you? Yes. All right. Sit your hand on there. God, I pray that right now you would move in so-and-so's life. See what happens. Maybe nothing, maybe something. But we are giving people a chance to encounter Jesus, which is what mission's all about. And finally, in the 4 steps, Jesus then says, and declare that the kingdom of God has come near. People need to know that. People need to know that God is close to them. People need to know that God is moving. People need to know that the God of love is active in this village and in their lives. I just want to highlight the order that it goes. It does not say, go up to people and tell them that they need to turn to God. Then if they do that, pray for them. Then if they do that, you can agree to eat with them. And then if they do all of that, then you'll bless them. That's not the order Jesus says. We bless people. We eat with people and we let them into our homes and we go into their homes. Then we encourage the supernatural to happen. We don't have to do it. Jesus does it. But we give them a chance to encounter Jesus. We hope that God moves and we're willing to accept him moving, even if we don't like the way that it sometimes happens in other people. We allow God to move. And then finally, we tell them, that's Jesus. One of my favourite things to do is talk to people about their lives, see where God is moving, and then just tell them that's the kind of stuff God does. I was talking to someone just yesterday and they were saying that they really liked the community at church, but they didn't really want to go just because it was a nice community. But I could say that community stuff, that's of God. We yearn for community. You point out things in people's lives that are good and then you say, that's the kind of God that I worship. We see where we can introduce people to Jesus in their own lives. So this week, just remember, you're all missionaries. You don't have to go to Nepal, though you might do. You don't have to go to Greenstead, though you might do. You are a missionary now. As you leave this place, there's your mission field, wherever it is that that takes you. You're a missionary. This is all of us. It's for the 72, not just for the Super 12. This is all of us in it together. We are all here to introduce people to Jesus. And this week, think about those 4 things. Where can you bless people? Where can you eat with people? Where can you take a step out of your comfort zone and allow God to move? Can you pray for them? And 4, let's tell them that God is near. Let's tell them that Jesus is close. Let's tell them that they can have a relationship with God. They don't need to come through a priest for it. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to finish with a song this morning. God, I thank you that introducing people to you is not a tough sell. You're a good God. It's good news. You bring good news to people's lives. You change people's lives. God, you are a God of love. And we are sorry for the times we haven't shouted about that loudly enough. God, I pray this week you would give us amazing opportunities to bless people. You would give us amazing opportunities to eat with people we wouldn't normally eat with. You would give us amazing opportunities to offer people prayer. You would give us amazing opportunities to pray for people's healing. God, I just pray that you would move. And we say we're willing to see you move in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that the kingdom of heaven is near. That you are close. That you are moving. that people can encounter you this week in the shops, in their homes.